Pop Spotting 65.
Wednesday, June 8th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Wordsmith Wednesday is back. Mm-hmm. We want to talk a little bit more about some more books.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I think we're going to stick with Wildcard Wednesdays for the name of our Wednesday show. Someone on Facebook liked that quite a bit. But our first show was a book show, and we were very surprised by the amount of feedback that we got and very impressed and happy with the number of readers out there. So there are going to be more of these, but at least for this week, as promised, Jen wanted to return to update us on the book she was reading at the time and also sort of dive into a new title. So at least for this week, Jen, let's get going.
I just finished Catching Fire, which is the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy. The first Hunger Games book came out in 2008, and Catching Fire came out in 2009, and it continues the story of Katniss Everdeen. Katniss Everdeen is a resident of Pan Am, and Pan Am has been hosting for like 74 years this thing called the Hunger Games, which is, it's kind of like the Running Man with kids.
Now, the first book comes to an end. We don't want to spoil folks that are working on that, but we should be able to conclude that since there is a second book, and there is in fact a third book, that Katniss makes it out of that first contest. And so that's sort of where the second one, Catching Fire, picks up. Now, for any wildly successful book that then gets a sequel and then then becomes part of a trilogy, I'm always curious, first of all, if the second book feels like part of the same story or is a completely different universe that's sort of tacked on. I mean, what sense did you get from Catching Fire?
Well, that's kind of the genius of this trilogy, because it does continue the story in a logical way, and it goes in a place where you think it might go, but you don't expect it. And she takes Katniss from one extreme to another extreme, but we still see Katniss, and we see her changing and growing as a character in a very different and interesting way.
So in one sense, it felt natural, but you're saying that you were surprised. I mean, that it wasn't predictable, I suppose, the second book.
It was not predictable at all. And I really enjoy Suzanne Collins' style, because she kind of goes in places that you wouldn't necessarily expect. She does write for a teen and young adult audience, but she really takes for granted that her audience is smart and savvy and well-read.
Well, again, I mean, I know that this book was written for young adults, someone our daughter's age, and you're devouring it more than she is. So can you talk about that a bit? I mean, does it seems like she's writing for a smarter audience, but does it still feel like a kid's story? Or not so much? I mean, you don't even feel that?
It doesn't really feel like a kid's story to me, because it has very adult themes. And I mean, as you imagine, they're kids, you know, battling each other to the death. So there is a lot of violence. There is a lot of adult situations.
Well, let's put it up against, say, Lord of the Flies, another story about young kids forced into unusual situations, life or death, and dealing with uncomfortable situations. Is this book a little harder than that, or not, or comparable in any way?
Well, there are very similar themes, and I would say that they're probably comparable grade level wise.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Now, between Catching Fire and The Hunger Games, did you prefer this one better, or did you like the original better?
I like this one better, because we meet a lot of different people, and it's actually the smaller characters that I enjoy more. For instance, the character named Cinna. Cinna plays a role that you would not expect a character like Katniss to have in her life. And he's surrounded by another group of people. And it's the interactions between Cinna and this group of people that I find very interesting and really unique in books. And also, there's a character named Finnick. And Finnick has a lost love in his home turf. And that is explored a little bit in the second book also.
So you get some of these side characters. You learn a little bit more about them. That makes sense. I mean, that sounds interesting and probably necessary if you extend a storyline, but Katniss is still the star of the show. She's still the protagonist all the
yes.
way through. Now, I got to ask, this is a book for young adults. It's got a teenage girl as the lead. One thing that occurred to me is, I mean, does Katniss have room in her life for boys, for example?
she has complicated relationships with actually a couple of boys, and that's brought up in the first book and explored even more in the second book.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I mean, I don't know why my mind goes there. Maybe it's because I'm a worried father of a teen girl, but, you know, there's the shipper element of any story. I just was kind of curious if that played a part. So maybe that's something that might draw Katie into it if she would just put down the Harry Potter once in a while.
It does play, the shipping thing does play a much smaller role than you would think in like something like Twilight. This isn't the kind of book that's going to divide fans into camps.
Oh, okay.
But it is a very entertaining and a very fast read. And actually, one of the great things that I love about this book is it really shows the home life of Katniss. And it really goes into the relationship that she has with her mother and her sister. And it's actually very touching.
All right. Well, again, this is Catching Fire, the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy. Sounds like still a winner.
Yes.
And you're certainly going to read book number 3.
Already am.
Oh, okay. So that could come on later here in Pop Spotting, but that's not the only book that you finished.
I also just finished Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Mm-hmm. It was published in 2005. It's a 9/11 book. It covers events that happened just after 9/11, a couple years after. It's by Jonathan Safran Foer, who wrote a book called Everything is Illuminated, which is a bestseller. But this book, the two narrators of this book are a 9-year-old boy named Oscar Schell and his grandfather. Now, 2 years before the story begins, Oscar's father dies at Windows on the World in the World Trade Center on 9/11. And a couple of years after that, Oscar is in his mother's house and he discovers a vase sitting on the mantelpiece. And in that vase is a key. So Oscar decides that he's going to go on a mission to find the owner of this key. And it takes him on a crazy adventure all throughout New York City.
All right. So the death and the 9/11 such isn't really depicted in the book. It's sort of the matter of fact landmark in terms of why the story takes place. And it's really this journey to uncover the mystery of this key that is the baseline of the entire book. So any high points, low points? I mean, good book?
The ending is absolutely devastating. This is the first book that's made me cry since A Prayer for Owen Meany a couple of years ago.
I remember you talking about that on our last podcast for sure. So even though it's sort of narrated by a little kid, that adds to the power. I mean, it wasn't distracting.
It's a little precious. The whole book can be kind of seen as more of a performance piece than a novel, because not only do you get Oscar's narration, you get his grandfather's narration, and you also get a lot of visual. Oscar is putting together a book called Everything That Happened to Me, and part of this book is the pictures that he puts in his book. And there's also a lot of other stuff that doesn't necessarily look like it belongs in a novel, but it all works together
in
the story.
So there's a lot of visual elements? I mean, the book's not illustrated.
It's not illustrated. There's just a lot of visual elements. And some of those visual elements tell the story of Oscar's grandparents, who have a very long-standing, complicated, and tragic relationship. And Oscar also has a very tragic and sad relationship with his mother. His mother is dealing with the loss of their father, and she is trying to get on with her life. Mm. But Oscar is not quite ready to let go. And because of the friction between he and his mother, Oscar is not always the most sympathetic character.
Oh, okay. So even though it's told from, you said that, yeah, I'm really interested in what I'm hearing here, because you said, okay, it's a little precious. It's a 9-year-old boy. He's writing the book of his life. I mean, that's not a very long book as far as I'm concerned. And so it can sound like it's a little too precious, and yet it's tragic. The book made you cry, and he's now, you've got a 9-year-old who's not also necessarily a sympathetic character. So he's allowed to make mistakes. He's allowed to be a bad person in the book.
Not a bad person, a confused person. And there is a bit of the book that takes place in therapy with Oscar. Mm. And he does talk about his feelings, but the big catharsis that Oscar has is actually with a stranger. He does actually find the owner of the key, and he actually has a really wonderful, heartbreaking conversation with this total stranger.
And that's what made you cry?
Yes.
So this book, I mean, it's not a laugh a minute. Is it that dark all the way through? It sounds like, you know, it would be almost arduous to dive into when you say, here's a book about a 9-year-old dealing with the aftermath of 9/11. What's the pitch to say it's still worth your time?
It's human, and it deals with loss and sadness and grief. And 9/11 is a thing that we still have trouble dealing with. And I think this book deals with it in a very human and humane way.
Well, it's not up for us to give away endings, but I do want to ask you, since we did just talk about a sequel as well, I mean, is this a book that lends itself to an ongoing story, or this was really the whole story that needed to be told here?
No, I don't really see the story continuing because it is resolved in the last few pages. And I don't want to see, this is the kind of story I don't want to see made into a movie.
But it is going to be made into
a movie. It is going to be made into a movie with Sandra Bullock and Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay. Well, especially in this case, even if you're interested in the movie, read the book first.
Yeah, please do.
All right, so we talked about Catching Fire by Suzanne Collins, the second book in the Hunger Games trilogy, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close by Jonathan Safran Foer, both highly recommended.
Very highly recommended.
All right. Now, also, before we go, I wanted to sort of pick your brains, and maybe, I'm not sure if we're going to do a book club or set a title in the future, but these are all things we all can make up. But have you got your eyes set on specific titles either that you've read and you wanted to talk about later or that you still want to read?
I keep hearing a lot of things about this book called A Visit from the Goon Squad by Jennifer Egan. I know nothing about this book except that people really seem to like it. So I'm thinking of picking that one up, and I'm also thinking of doing a double feature. A friend of ours, George Roberts, recommended a book called John Dies at the End. Mm-hmm. And I just finished another book called Skippy Dies like 3 months ago. And I think based on what George is telling me and just the titles alone, it makes it sound like it would be really fun to talk about the two books together.
Yeah, I mean, if they're books that tell you how things end or tell you a specific plot point right on the front of the book, then maybe it's the rest of the stuff that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you've read those and you wanted to either warn Jen away or encourage her, we'd like to hear from you. If you've got another title, again, there will be another book show here on Wild Card Wednesday. We just don't know when. Do you have an idea of what you might want to talk about next Wednesday?
iPhone apps.
See, there you go. It's a web and geeky Wednesday as well here. But in any case, whether you've got a book or an album or an iPhone app that you want to recommend, we want to hear from you. Feedback is what keeps us going. So please share your thoughts on these or any other topic that we cover here on Pop Spotting.
Leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. Drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net or leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
So we're kind of tired of talking, so on the next show we will have another guest to share their picks and to rack their brains during trivia.
Absolutely. Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thanks to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Shalom.
Shalom.